Have you ever been terribly inconvenienced? Perhaps you missed a bus, or perhaps you missed a train, missed a plane, only later to find out that in God's providence, He had spared you from something or had a greater reason for that. In other words, the inconvenience was outweighed by God's providence. Tonight we're going to read about a similar situation regarding a census. What would have been a very inconvenient thing to Joseph and Mary, especially given Mary's pregnancy, something this interruption probably would have seemed senseless. Perhaps we could say the interruption by the census seemed senseless. Let's go ahead and read Luke chapter 2, 1 through 7. In Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place in the inn. What's interesting about our passage is that the first of the seven verses, five verses deal with the census, and only two actually deal with Jesus' birth. This seems kind of disproportionate, doesn't it? I mean, this is a Christmas passage after all, right? So what would be so important about this census that Luke would spend this much time on this and just two verses on Jesus' birth? Well, that's what we want to look at, see if we can discover that together. Well, first of all, the passage says that a decree went out. So what is a decree? A decree is a law. Caesar issued this law that all of the world should be registered. Well, registered. What does registered mean? Well, what is meant by registered is the Roman Empire needed to know certain things about those in its empire. And one of the things it needed to know was your income, your occupation. Now, why would a government want to know your income? No, I have no idea why that would be. No doubt the person who would go and register for this census would provide their name, dependent occupation, income, of course. And this information would make it to Rome's Census Bureau. And from there, you can be quite sure it made it to Rome's IRS. But this registration was a law, and you dare not ignore Rome on this point. Now, Luke also tells us that this was from Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus is also known as Octavia Caesar, and he received the name Augustus due to his amazing quick rise that brought such a prosperity to Rome. A mere 14 years after Julius Caesar's assassination, Augustus was the top man in the empire, and what an empire it was. It stretched all the way around the Mediterranean Sea, the bottom part of the Mediterranean Sea from Morocco eastward all the way to Iraq, all the way up, headed all the way westward towards England. Quite a large empire. It was under Augustus that Rome entered her golden age, the Pax Romana, which means the Roman peace, and it was a peace that lasted for 200 years. So this is a very notable character in history. Also, Luke tells us that it was all the world that was to be registered. So the scope of the census extended to the Roman Empire. Caesar decreed that all the world should be registered. So you can imagine that as people in Palestine are registering, there's people all the way over in England registering. This is such a large territory. Luke also gives us a key piece of history. It says, if you look in verse 2, it says, this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Well, this almost seems out of place, and what does this have to do with the story? But Luke gives us this information. It's sort of a historical GPS, if you will. It helps us to triangulate to find out exactly when this happened in history. Caesar Augustus in Rome gives us one of the triangulation points, and Quirinius in Syria, another one. And so by this additional information, scholars can pinpoint that this decree was issued around the 42nd year of Caesar Augustus's reign, and also helps to determine in part that Jesus was born around 4 BC. Also, in our text, Luke tells us that the census led to many journeys, and one in particular. Well, that's not in the text. What is in the text, it says, all went to be registered, each to his own town. So the decree was like a drop of something in a pond, maybe a rock in the pond, that send out circular ripples all the way out to the whole empire. And Luke's report, though, after he says all went to be registered to his own, starts to narrow down here. It says that we see it going from all of the world and all of the people in the empire down to one town in Nazareth, one couple, Joseph and Mary. At the time of the census, Joseph and Mary were living 70 miles north of Bethlehem. At 70 miles an hour, we could probably get there in an hour, but it might have been just a little different for them. Walking at a donkey's speed, I would imagine, at the fastest. This was obviously not an ideal journey for Joseph and Mary. It was not an ideal time. It was not an ideal journey. Also, Luke tells us that this was about a lineage. Joseph was of the lineage of David. In verse 4b, it says, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Since Joseph was of the lineage of David, David was born in Bethlehem, therefore Joseph had to be registered there with his ancestors. Now, as we look at verse 6, we see the narrative begin to shift here. It says, and while they were there, meaning in Bethlehem, the time came for her to give birth. So in this transitional verse, the significance of the census starts to come to light. It addresses the location and the timing of Jesus' birth. So let's look at the location for a moment. And while they were there, Mary and Joseph were brought by the census to the right place. It's prophesied in Micah that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And Micah 5:2 states, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient of days. So this census had brought Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. There's a saying in real estate, location, 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 right? That's only partially true in this case. There's another saying that says timing is everything. So in this case, location and timing were key. Luke says in verse 6b, the time came for her to give birth. So again, we see the location and the timing coming together marvelously by God's plan. We asked at the beginning, what could be so important about this census that would lead Luke to spend 5 verses out of 7 on this passage? It's to show how God directed the affairs of man to bring about his plan. The sovereign God moved his subject, Caesar Augustus, to issue a decree that would bring Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem at just the right time. The time came for her to give birth, the text says. Think of those three words, the time came. Those words are both factual. The time came, it was time for her to give birth to Jesus. But there's also a dramatic and a poetic sense to the words. They're beautiful words of redemption. The time came. Galatians 4:4 says that, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. It's as if the sands of time in the hourglass had all filled up at the bottom of the hourglass. The top was now empty. The fullness of time had come. God's plan made in eternity was now at hand in the present. All the longings of the patriarchs and the prophets to see this fullness of time had come. The time came. All the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight, the Christmas hymn tells us. The time came, Luke's simple statement, she gave birth. It's an appropriate veil to draw over the birth of this child. In those simple words, she gave birth, there's a certain appropriate veil of mystery, a modesty veil drawn across this stable at this moment. It's almost a sense of hush and a sense of awe. It just hangs in the air. We can almost hear in the distant background, silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright round the Virgin Mother and her child, infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. And where does the baby sleep? It says they laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. A manger? Really? You've got to be kidding. A feeding trough where food was given to animals, there he laid. Could the Messiah have come in any more of a humble circumstance? Could we have thought of anything more humble than that? Why was he laid in a manger? Because there was no room in the inn. It reminds us that he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But this sense of hush as the baby is born and laid in the manger, it quickly passes because there is a birth announcement. It's a royal announcement. No earthly king could ever have hoped to have received such an announcement. It was supernatural. It came with power from the realms of glory. An angel of the Lord appears, perhaps Gabriel, and announced the birth. I bring you news of great joy. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Then the angel was joined with a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God. This divine Christ child had opened up the very heavens themselves. So Luke has taken the time to explain to us why the census was so important. He's taken what might have at first seemed like a dry subject and shown us how the seeming mundane things of life bring about God's own plans. Luke has shown us a terrible inconvenience for Joseph and Mary brought about the necessity that Jesus was born in Bethlehem because it was necessary for him to fulfill prophecy. It was also necessary, as this morning's sermon pointed out, that we see Jesus as the descendant of David. Luke has taken us on an extreme journey from the great Caesar Augustus down to this little child, from all of the world, the whole Roman Empire, down to this little space in a manger. Most importantly, Luke has taken us from a Savior, from a world without a Savior, to the Savior of the world. And what will you do with this Savior? Will you push him outside, consign him to the manger? Will you turn from your sin by faith and embrace the Savior of the world? The Savior was born to die for sin, and by faith, you might live by him and for him. Make the Savior of the world your Savior this Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, we rejoice so much in this season. There's so much meaning here for us. We pray, Father, that we will not consign you to the manger this Christmas. We only have a few days left. We pray that you will help us to focus on you this Christmas, to spend some time in your word and reflection on the great things that you have done. We thank you for sending your indescribable gift to save us from our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.